Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know, email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And then also our website, davidspoonmedia.com. And that's pretty simple, David Spoon Media. So I have on there these four segments on this one teaching that I did called Relentless Faith. They're only about 8 minutes long, each one, but they're pretty cool. I think they're pretty good. I encourage you to listen if you need to be encouraged in your faith and just kind of uplifted. That's the direction we're going to go, actually, in this segment. Don't forget Facebook, David Spoon Media, YouTube, David Spoon Media. I don't care if you do anything with those. That doesn't mean anything to me. But that's just a point of fact. We do have a trivia question for those that are feeling brave. I know it's Friday after Christmas. What? We're going to do a trivia question? Yeah, why not? Okay, ready? You ready for this trivia question?
Ready, brother.
All right, you feel good that this is something the audience can get? All right.
Yes.
Which is not a book in the Old Testament? Which is not a book in the Old Testament? Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah? Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah? Which is not a book in the Old Testament? There you go. 972-445-0770. Somebody's feeling pretty good. You're welcome to answer that question. I didn't even get the paper down, and somebody's already called in. I didn't even get the paper down. All right, people. All right. So we got somebody, and they're feeling pretty confident they know this. So it's either Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah. That is the simple question. Oh, they hung up. Okay. So did they? Okay. They're going to call back. All right. Let's get into our next little teaching. So I do want to give you an update on Easton Scott. I can tell that my daughter is having a harder time. And so I definitely want you guys to be praying for her, because I think it's superbly important to sustain people in prayer. And there's this portion in there where Jesus talks about Peter and saying, I've prayed that your faith would not fail you. And that, as a dad, I'm just not my concern, but my daddy part of me is like, I'm praying for my daughter and her faith to stand firm. When we come back after this call, I'm going to tell you what it's all about. But hang on one sec. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Bobby out here in Climax.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Had a great Christmas. Hope you did.
Yes, sir, I did. I did. And thank you for asking. I appreciate that. All right, so you're feeling pretty good about the trivia, right? Because I feel like you know this in my heart. I got it going on. Here we go. Which is not an Old Testament book? Joshua, David, Isaiah, or Zephaniah?
It would have to be David.
That is correct.
About the Chronicles and also in the Kings.
That is correct, sir. Excellent job. Excellent job. And I think I had mentioned this before on the air, but back in the day when I was teaching, when I had a church in Flagstaff, Arizona, I would say to people, and I did it a few times, and actually I did a guest speaking once just because it's irritating. I got up in the pulpit and I said, everybody turn to the book of Hezekiah, and you should have people flipping through their Bibles trying to find Hezekiah, the king in Israel. But it's such a good one.
That was good.
Yeah, that's a good one right there. So thank you, brother, for calling in and answering the question. Excellent job on that.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
You have a happy new year.
Thank you. You too as well.
God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. Great job. All right. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Great way to start. See, our audience knows. I wasn't going to get that past them. Nah, I knew that was coming. All right, so I want to talk about this. So as a dad, you know, my daughter's going through a hard time. It's not that she's lost faith or anything, but look, if you've been in the hospital for 45 days with your baby, that tends to weigh on you. And I was mentioning to Johnny that I'd sent her a text wanting to make sure she didn't get caught up in the hospital minutia, because that whole thing, you can just get stuck, and then they're just living moment by moment for everything a doctor says. And it's like the question that comes into play is, well, Dave, could you possibly justify or biblically justify why God would allow anything like that to happen? That's a question that I get a lot in life, just in my general engagement with people. I want to point out a couple of things real quickly. The first thing is that if God did not allow the planet to continue, you wouldn't have any problems at all. So that would be a kind of a quick solver. But the reality check is that man rebelled against God introduced sin into the world. Sin, by being introduced to the world by man's rebellion, made a connection with Satan, and then the world kind of got all twisted and weird and bizarre, and sickness and disease and death entered. Jesus Christ came to redeem us, but the fullness of the redemption will be called when he returns the second time. So it's not all been fully redeemed. And you think, well, how can you say that? And the answer is very simple, because God still allows the penalty of death to prevail over man, so he hasn't pulled the fullness of the trigger back. But when we talk about God allowing, most of the things that happen to us are put into motion because of the general rebellion of mankind. But I want to say something that has two very big points. I'm going to let Johnny kind of jump in at the last couple minutes on this. First and foremost, in God's economy, your faith is more important than your feelings. How you feel about a situation is real, but it's not more important than your faith in a situation. In Peter, in the book of Peter, it says this. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's more important in God's economy that your faith be purified and real and genuine and like gold than you feel good about it. And that, I just, if you just answer that to every single one of those questions we would all ask, you'd be like, okay. Because that just, I mean, that kind of solves it. The next part comes in with James chapter 1, where it says, consider it pure joy. Now, this is the challenge. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Again, you could apply that to any situation where you don't understand what's going on. Your feelings are all twisted about it. You don't think it should be that way. God really appreciates that you have that perspective, but doesn't care. In the sense that your job is to have faith more than for your feelings to be all like snuggly. Okay, it's not about all your snuggly feelings. And so why I bring that up is simply because of this. In a passage like Ephesians chapter 1:11, it says, in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. There's this plan that God had. People keep forgetting that. In the beginning of all this, before the foundation of the earth, God had a plan. And finally, you bring in the scripture, though its primary context is salvation, it still has application. We know that in all things work together for good to those that love God, to them that are called according to his plan. Now, a lot of people say, well, that just has to do with salvation. Well, then they shouldn't have put the word all in there. But okay, I get it. I mean, I get what you're saying. But the point is, God allows because it refines faith, and he's got a purpose and a plan that you and I don't always see. Hint, hint, Job. Does that make sense when I say it like that, Johnny? Are you getting that?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
What do you think?
I look at it like this. We're not foolish. We understand that we do live in an imperfect world. And so one of the benefits of going through trials and tribulations is to prepare us for the things that are going to happen. Because it's an imperfect world.
Exactly.
So when we go through these processes, the benefit of it is that there's some growth that happens. Some necessary growth as Christians. What does that do for us? It helps us. What does it do for my son? It helps him because I become a better father. What does it do for my wife? It helps my relationship because I become a better husband. So there's an amazing benefit.
Excellent point.
In going through
just
these trials.
Excellent point. And that reflection, the going through those trials, that reflection of Jesus Christ, which increases in our lives, often leads to greater praise and glory to God. And it's like, now we're getting close. Mm. Now I'm going to read this passage. I told John I was going to read this passage. I don't think he knows this one up to – a lot of people don't know this one. I'm going to show you something that a lot of people don't have the courage to talk about. Isaiah 57:1 says this. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from evil to come. People don't even realize that God will allow something to happen in order to protect somebody at a level they can't even possibly understand. And you think, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. That's been in the book for 3,000 years. And it's like, well, that guy, he went before he was supposed to go. That's probably mercy. That's probably what that is. You think, well, how can that be? Well, I don't know, because this is the one thing I know. If a guy – I'm just going to use this example, and I'll reverse it so as not to be sexist about it. I'll try and do it really, really earnestly. If a woman is married to a man for 50 years and she loves and adores him and thinks he's the greatest thing ever, and then passes away and goes to be with the Lord, but had she been alive 2 years later, would have found out that he was unfaithful for 48 or 50 years, better for her to pass and to go into the Lord than to go through the pain that she was about to encounter. You think that's ridiculous? That's a real life situation. And God having mercy goes, no, we're gonna spare her that. And it's like, only God would know that. You see what I'm saying? That's like, oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, but that comes down to our trust in God. Do you believe he has your best interests in mind? Or are you just playing? That's just answer that question. Okay. Are you going to take a break and then come back? Good to great. Okay. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the skin.